And welcome, everybody, to episode 399 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the Frosted, or Frosty One, as he prefers, one himself.
Hasn't
the
been
mug.
That good a day.
Yeah, not yet, huh? Well, I mean, maybe the night might be better, you know? Just quick announcements. I was talking before we got on the air about next week's show. It's episode 400. Big milestone. It's about 8 years of doing this stupid show. but we got some stuff lined up next week. Hopefully there'll be more people in chat. You know, people will download it. It's going to be a ton of fun. There's going to be some surprises, some surprise guests, you know. Fun segments. I got a new segment I'm debuting next week. Even some new
Frank
intro.
Is picking up harmonica.
No, I am not.
That's new, a new segment. Fine. Yeah. Serenade us with this harmonica skills.
Oh, God. No, that would be
either that or
awful.
His freshly minted bagpipe skills.
Yeah, exactly. No. I don't have the lung capacity for that, man. I do too much smoking for that. but it's going to be a ton of fun. New intro next week, new outro. It's not going to be like mind-blowingly different, but it's going to be fun. I think you guys will have a ton of fun. So join us next week for sure. And that's the end of the show, guys. Well, thanks for joining. You know, until next week. No, kidding.
We did a Square Enix announcement of a show.
Yeah, exactly. We're doing an announcement of an announcement, pretty much. Now, next week should be fun. This week should be fun too, though, guys. How were your week, gentlemen? Start with Eric. Eric, how was your week, dude? How was your week?
Sorry, I'm switching the landmark because it's getting
all right, how was your week?
His week is way more important than yours, Frank. Shut
right,
up.
Right, exactly. He's got shit to do.
Hot.
Hot, yes. Hot here in dusty old Cowtown, Denver. Although we're getting humidity, and I'm not used to that shit. I hate
Cowtown.
It.
Cowtown? Did Cowboy Curtis come to visit you?
Oh, God. Yeah.
I think Ohio area is the capital of humidity.
Yeah, it's
no,
the.
I think South Carolina's got that going. That one.
Yeah, I think so. I was going to say
we got a lot of humidity here.
South Carolina.
I thought Eric,
are you on the coast?
Apparently, he lives in North Carolina.
Yeah,
no, this is my perspective, and I am right.
You're not on the coast. You have no idea what humidity is.
Yeah, exactly. I tend to agree with Mug, but look, we got
swamps down here, motherfucker.
Yeah, look, anytime you get like 80% humidity in Denver, like people here are like, "Ugh, God, it's awful. It fucking sucks." We're 80 to 100% humidity in Denver is like unprecedented. It sucks. It's bullshit.
That's normal summertime around here.
Ugh, humidity sucks. I hate it. But so how about your week, Breakman? Anything?
I don't mind the heat. I like the heat. It's the humidity that kind of gets to you, I think.
They both
suck. Because I've been to places like Arizona and Nevada where it's like hot.
It's a dry heat. It's not that bad.
But
but
there's no humidity. It's not that bad.
Oh, God, Breakman, you're one of those. It's bad, dude. It sucks. Heat sucks all the way around. Up to 90.
I'd rather be hot than cold. The summer over the winter any day of the week.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Now, winter, I can bundle up. I can only take off so much without getting arrested.
Right. Exactly.
That's a you problem.
Well, you take off anything and you'll get arrested, Mug. So
this thing is because people can't handle how amazingly hot.
Get out of here, man, you son of a bitch. All right, Eric, let's start with the news, man.
Because like when you took your clothes off, it was like turning on a light bulb because you're like.
The thing is that, that would be a good joke, but I'm kind of swarthy. You know, I don't have like super pale skin, so it doesn't really work.
You're still white.
And I noticed Frank was about to start the show and move right on without asking me how my week was. Thanks, motherfucker.
Dude,
it was very shitty. Thank you very much.
No. I was going to say, dude, we already talked before we got on the air. My bad, Mug. How was your week, dude?
I already took care of it. Just like usual, I had to take up Frank's slack.
Oh, God, man, you're awful. You suck, Mug. You really suck, dude. All right, let's move on to the news, and maybe we can save this debacle of the show. Probably not, but Eric, let's start with you, dude.
From Komatsu, we've got Blade Arcus from Shiny EX is coming west with a new name.
Dude, did you just add a new story that I don't know about? I got Batman.
No, Blade Arcus.
All right.
You must have missed it.
I see it. Okay, go ahead.
Blade Arcus from Shining EX. Sega's fighting game features characters from the Shining series. Most of these characters, of which I've never seen, because we've not got most of them past like the 90s. But right. None of them have been good, so I guess that's a blessing in disguise. One of them was good, but it was like made by Flight Plan, which doesn't exist anymore and was never released in the West either. It was called Shining Feather. But it's coming from Studio Sai Senzen, and it's going to be published by them, I guess, as well. But apparently Sega couldn't do it for whatever reason. But anyways, it's going to be renamed Blade Arcus from Shining Battle Arena. But doesn't say whether, we're probably not going to get the PS4 or PS3 version, which released like 2 years ago.
So pretty much a non-story. So just it's a fighting game. Yay, fighting games. Wyland might be interested in that. We might talk a little Evo.
Oh, no wonder I don't know any of these characters. They're from two specific Shining games, Shining Blade and Shining Hearts.
Ah, there you go.
Wayland was on Xbox Live before the show, and I was about to go play Killer Instinct with him and get my ass handed to me, but guess what? I had to download another fucking update.
Oh, shit.
Every time I turn that goddamn game on, I have to download an update. Like, he messaged me like a week ago or something, and there was an update then.
Oh, there was an update to this article. Apparently, Dedicate Games was shown as a publisher, but no, it's really just Studio Sai Senzen. But I think they're actually doing the localization, so that's probably where the mix-up happened.
Yeah, there was Wyland's laughing at you, Breakman. I think at this point, I think you're just dodging Wyland. I think you're just coming up with excuse after excuse not to get your ass handed.
See, if I was dodging him, I'd be like saying like, there's no chance he.
Maybe
can win
I should drive all the way to Cincinnati. Go to your house and force you to play a match against Wyland.
Oh, God, that would be awesome. Capture it on video.
I just got to get a better internet connection because all these downloads wouldn't take forever.
Wyland, do you have the ability to record your matches on Xbox or whatever you guys are playing it on?
God damn it.
Because if you do, I want to see
Xbox
that.
Xbox One and PS4 both have DVR recording.
Oh, God, that's awesome. Wyland, you got to record that shit and send me the file, dude. I want
to
see it.
I still haven't gotten to play that game.
He might have a capture card anyway.
You haven't been able to play it yet, Monk?
I don't have an Xbox One, and I don't have a PC running Windows 10. So.
Ah, there you go.
Do you have a car with gas you can drive up
here? Wyland said he's planning on it.
No, actually, I have a car, but no gas.
Ooh, ouch, yeah. Okay.
All right, on to the next story. Breakman, next story, please.
Yeah, sorry, Chad, I'd post it, but I can't get in the chat.
I'll post this next story. No worries.
Okay, coming to us live from Gamatsu. Batman the Telltale series launches at retail September 13th in North America. I did not hear about this game. What?
Yeah, you haven't heard about this Telltale series?
You haven't been paying attention to the internets in the last 2 months.
Yeah, probably because it's internet.
I don't ever pay attention to the internets. Yeah. Anyway, I'm skipping the first paragraph because it's essentially the same thing we've already heard.
I'm surprised they're bothering to do PS3 and Xbox 360 versions, though.
Yeah, so what is this?
The first episode of the series will launch digitally in August. A release date will be announced next week alongside a world premiere trailer. The digital version will also be available for, Jesus Christ, it's on every system.
Yeah.
They're going to announce the TurboGrafx-16 version soon.
Except the Wii. Just saying about Wii or
Wii
U.
Those aren't real systems.
The Wii U is a real system, goddammit. I like
no,
Wii.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
Telltale Games will be at Comic-Con in San Diego, which it says next weekend, but is happening right now. And that's all the cool South Park display they got going
I've
on.
I've had
there.
More fun with the PS or the Wii U than the PlayStation 3, actually.
That is your personal favorite.
It is, but I'm telling you, it's
because he hasn't been playing enough PS3 stuff.
Oh, knock it off. I have plenty of PS3 games.
Rather play Marvel Puzzle Fighters.
No, I'd rather
play PS4
games. Comic-Con,
Troy Baker and Greg Miller from Kind of Funny will be there.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Back on the subject of the actual news story, don't bother with the physical disc. Because all it contains is the first episode and a license to download the rest.
Really? Fuck that. Yeah. That's ridiculous. That sucks, man.
It's basically acting as a DRM at that point.
Ugh, that's bullshit.
The only worth it would have after that point would be to just have it whenever, so you don't have to worry about having to go have the servers die on you and then not being able to access it anymore.
Yeah. All right. Yeah,
but the problem is if in an instance where like your hard drive dies or something like that, unless you've imaged it previously, then you're still out of the other episodes. Yeah, and if the servers are dead, then that's going to be pretty much the downfall of this generation of games.
That sucks. Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if they have a full season set later.
Yeah, like a digital release or something.
No, I mean like a physical release.
Oh, physical, yeah. That's what I meant, physical. I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, it's a season pass. It even says there on the image, the season pass disc.
Yeah, that's stupid. All right, Mug, you're up next.
All right, coming to us live from Gematsu.com, the Neo Beta demo. The next one will begin on August 23rd and run until September 6th, as announced by Koei Tecmo. More of the rewarding and dangerous gameplay from the previous Neo Alpha demo will be present. A new dojo stage will feature an intense training session that teaches the basics of Neo's combat system. Players will also be able to explore a still unannounced stage. Additionally, there will be a selection of new katana, spears, axes, and hammers will be available. Why is... Oh, God. Bad grammar. And hammers will be available to collect to uniquely suit a player's gameplay style. Players will also be able to add a few new weapons in their arsenal to their arsenal as well. Here's an overview via Koei Tecmo. Neo follows the tale of William Adams as he travels to Japan and becomes a samurai. Players will discover a deep and enticing world that blends history and Japanese folklore. The tough gameplay pits players against daunting and overpowering creatures and encourages them to learn their enemy's tactics to gain the advantage in battle. The protagonist, William, is not alone against a perilous yokai, as he will be accompanied by a diverse cast of characters who will aid him on his travels across Japan. Hanzo Hattori, the head of a famous ninja clan, is William's guide through the country. Yinchiyo Tachibana, wife of Muneshige, the head of the Tachibana clan, will also help William on his quest with her skilled fighting abilities. And before anyone says, like, why is this guy American? Because he's based on an actual historical figure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Dungeon Buster says, I wonder if the new Neo demo will have another special achievement like the first one.
I never played the first demo, so I should probably get on that.
It looked good.
You can't.
It looked good. You can't.
I have it downloaded on my hard drive, though.
Yeah, but you still can't use it.
Oh, so why, they closed the access or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it was only up for like a week and a half or something like that. It's the same thing with this. You can have it on your hard drive, but you can't, it'll tell you like the beta period is expired or whatever.
Well, it's just self-destruct at that point then. I mean, I have to manually do it. That's annoying.
Yeah. What the hell's going on here? Oh, they got new fucking emojis for Skype, apparently. Breakman, you want me to hang up on you and call you right back?
I think it's actually a good thing that it doesn't just, it doesn't just auto-delete, because I don't like the idea of stuff being able to just delete itself off my hard drive.
Well, if you can't play it, then what's the point of it staying there?
I just hung up
because you always have the option of removing it yourself, and you will. We're talking literally like 15 seconds of effort. I mean, I would much rather keep that ability out of the hands of anyone other than me, basically.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster said his demo still loaded on his PS4, but it's dead. Still, he has the achievement, which will apparently unlock something for him in the full game whenever it comes out. Breakman, you back?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You guys sound a lot better now.
Okay, cool. So we're good.
I could barely hear you guys that last story.
Oh, that sucks, man. All right, next story comes to us from Gamatsu. Capcom has confirmed it will bring Dead Rising to the PS4, Xbox One, and PC, and Dead Rising 2, Dead Rising 2 off the record, to the PS4, Xbox One, the company confirmed. It'll be...
But no Dead Rising 3 for PS4 is odd.
I'm sure that announcement will be coming. There's no date on it, which to me is a non-story. So we're off to the next story. Mug, can you do the next story, please?
I cannot, because my connection just died.
All right. Break.
You sounds like you got mine. Did we just read the Dead Rising story?
Yes. We're on to the next one.
Sorry. I was trying to catch up because I was just having connection errors. Coming from live from Gamatsu, Garu?
Garo. Thank you.
Garo. Thank you. Mark of the Wolves coming to PS4 and PS Vita. Wow, really? A game coming to the Vita? SNK Playmore is bringing Garo. Mark of the Wolves. You know, like, why did I? God, what is wrong with me? Developed with, I was waiting for you guys to answer, but nothing. Developed with Code Mystics, the PlayStation version of the game will be cross-buy and features cross-play functionality and online multiplayer. There will be a new gallery mode where you'll unlock concept art from Mark of the Wolves and Fatal Fury series, as well as the game's original soundtrack available to sample in the game menu. No release date announced.
Another non-story. Without a release date, I don't consider it a story.
Like, it's probably within the next month.
Well, then why don't they say, like...
Because they don't know for sure.
Ugh, okay.
Whenever they can get it approved.
And it's a damn good game, so... Yeah, it's actually one of the best fighting games ever made, so... Yeah.
That's the only reason I even mentioned this.
Yeah. All right.
I have it on the 360. I just haven't played it. And plus, 360 requires me actually wanting to pay for Xbox Live.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Mug, you're up.
All right. Coming to us live from Silly String Era. The player's decisions throughout a playthrough of RPG Archmage Rises will take the game in dozens of different directions, letting players have families, sell their loved ones into slavery. All right. Star Wars.
Whoa. What's this game called? I must buy this. GameStop's Rises. Website. Okay. All right. Here we go.
Anyway, sell their loved ones into slavery, start wars, or save orphans as they see fit. The world of Archmage Rises is complex, offering many different political and military factions as the world ages and changes with time and the player's actions. The procedurally generated worlds also feature an in-game economy that can be affected by bandits and trade routes, as well as the player's actions. Oh, great. It's a medieval economy simulator. Each NPC in the game in the game world also has an effect on how it runs. Should a player decide to kill an innkeeper, the inn will close. Should they get a divorce after... Hang on, let me finish. Sorry. Should they get a divorce after marrying an NPC, that NPC may send thugs out to rough the player up. NPCs will retain information on every run-in they have with the player and will even spread gossip to other NPCs throughout the world. Players will also have all of the traditional gameplay of a turn-based RPG as well, exploring dungeons and using powerful magic to devastate enemies in combat. However, death is permanent, so players may wish to avoid battle and wait to pass from old age instead.
Oh my god, what do I have to do to get this Come America?
Yeah.
It's on Steam Greenlight.
And it's in English, so you don't have to worry about it not being English.
Quarter one next year, it looks like.
Oh, crap. I must have closed the wrong article then. My bad.
Well, that's cool. It sounds good. I'm hoping for maybe a PS4 or Xbox One release. That looks good. I'm looking at the screenshots now. It's like any other turn-based RPG, but it's got some interesting additions. I agree with you, Mug. It's definitely a medieval economy sim. So.
And that deserves a serenade.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, get out of here, you son of a bitch. You know what? You're so lucky, dude. You're lucky I'm in a good mood today. Like, very lucky. And that would have been an instant hang-up on Mug moment. But I'll let you slide. All right, next story, Mug. Oh, you already did the
just next did story.
Breakman.
I'm so confused. Is this the...
World End Economica.
Yeah, okay. So... Coming to his life in Silicon Era. World End, Economica, and other visual novels are coming to 3DS in Japan. This is the one I was looking at and was so confused. Okay, sorry. Yeah, latest issue of Famitsu has announced a series of visual novel ports according to... Oh, this is why you wanted me to read it. Chima Kiku.
Yeah, there you go.
Furyu will be bringing established games to the Nintendo 3DS in Japan as part of a new Catalyst line. The first three games in this series will be the first episodes of World End Economica, The House in Fata Morgana, and Higanbana no Saku Yoru.
Jesus Christ, what the fuck was that? It's like you strangled a goat.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Daiichi, yeah, like, even the cats offended my mom.
Daiichi, yeah.
yeah, that, what he said. All three games will be available via the Japanese eShop on July 27th. World ends, yeah, blah, blah, blah. That'll be 800 yen. And in the house, one game will be 950.
I like how you, well, you just get so
the
perfect.
First episode of World Economica was like originally like 15 bucks. About 8 bucks is not a bad deal at all.
And the game will be out in the next year.
Yeah, there you go.
And I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah. All right, Eric, you're up next, man.
Next would be from Silicon Era, The Great Railroad, a tactical RPG of medieval clans. The Great Railroad is a story-driven tactical RPG where players must lead their early medieval clan to survival. Through trade and warfare, players will equip their people with what they need to live through the harsh oncoming winters. Gameplay is split into two separate missions. During winter, players will have to manage their food stores and items while planning for the year to come. In summer, players can explore the world, finding new villages, establishing trade with other people. Sounds a lot like Pirate's Gold or Pirates.
Mm, yeah.
With a touch of Oregon Trail, maybe.
It looks like one of those tabletop games where you have the figures, the hexagon figures that you put on a hex grid. That's what it looks like a digital version of that. So
instead of dysentery, they die from scurvy?
Yeah, scurvy. You have died of scurvy. This is like the spiritual successor to Oregon Trail, man. That's awesome. Looks like Wyland has Killer Instinct running if you want to take him on right now, Breakman.
I don't think Break's going to take him up on it because he doesn't want to undergo humiliation.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't because it needs to download. I can't do it because I need to download the update and it's
2 gig or something. Dungeon Buster says Oregon.
What the hell am I hearing?
I think it's just you, dude.
Like, anyways, it says that it's available now on Steam Early Access and it's telling the first part of the Danish faction storyline.
Yeah.
And additions will add campaigns for other historical cultures like the Northumbrians, Franks, and.
Yeah. Bans. Yeah. I like this game. Has meaning.
Because of the Franks?
Yeah, that's right, man. Dungeon Busters.
The thing is, that means they're the French.
Oh, get out of it. They're not the French.
Where do you think the word comes from?
Isn't it German?
I don't remember where the Picts or the Northumbrians come from.
Dungeon Buster says.
Frank, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What are French speakers called?
Get out of here. I don't want to hear
Francophones.
Hear your nonsense. Dungeon Buster says Oregon Wales. And then that's about it. It looks interesting. I'm not a tactical RPG guy, but it could be fun. Somebody play this and let us know how it plays.
Somebody play this for me and let me know what I think of it.
Dude,
he doesn't like PC games.
I can't play PC games. I don't have a PC to play them. So I have to vicariously live through other people. And same thing with PS4 games and Xbox One games. Although that, I'm going to try to remedy that. Get out of here, Monk. All right, next story comes to us from Silicon Era. Oof. God damn it, I hate saying that. Square Enix announces world's first Apple Watch exclusive RPG with Cosmos Rings. Ah, sounds interesting. Okay, worldwide, summer 2016, so that gives us nothing. I mean, summer's almost over. Features the time upstream system that uses the Apple Watch's digital crown. The game will send you various messages according to your daily step counts as part of an experience that Square Enix says can only be done through the Apple Watch. The graphics are said to be beautiful and will have a mix of dot art looks to bring a feeling of nostalgia. The producer is Takahiro Ando. Who worked on Square Enix's Chaos Ring series. Shun Kanbei from Square Enix will also co-produce and will have key visuals by Yusuke Naora, who worked as an art director on titles such as Final Fantasy VII, VIII, X, XV, and many other Final Fantasy titles. He's also worked as a character designer for Chaos Rings. Story takes place in the world of the Interval of Time, where emotions and mankind swirl. The time that has stopped has once again continued to move, And in order to bring back the, quote, goddess of time, you'll need to face the many human emotions from the, quote, interval of time. Exactly what awaits remains unknown. So, sounds cool. It's like
it chaos. Sounds confusing to me.
Yeah, I was going to say the plot seems a little
Square Enix stories and RPGs are always confusing.
That's a valid point. Very valid.
Yeah.
So. Not really.
But in recent years, then if it's like post Final Fantasy VI, yeah, they're bizarre.
Like actually
Final Fantasy 13, for instance.
Yeah, I'm actually interested.
I take exception to that. Final Fantasy 13 did not have an actual story.
Yeah, exactly. And it didn't have very much.
It's a random sequence of events that they somehow strung together to make it seem sensical.
There was a thing with Trey Parker of South Park. He was talking about like one of the basic things of of writing and making a good story is that don't use and, use so or therefore because. So it's like instead of this happened and this happened and this happened, it's like this happened, so this happens, and so this happens, therefore this happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually
and pretty much it's like Final Fantasy 13 struck me as very much a story of ands.
It struck me. Final Fantasy 13
struck me. This doesn't keep alternating between the different characters, but they did nothing with them.
Final Fantasy 13 struck me as not a game at all. So that's there's that.
Oh, whatever. You guys can hate, but I love the battle system.
Oh, God. The battle system
I like the game enough to give it a 6 because it's above average, but it's not much more than that.
Although the sequel pretty much improved on the battle system in every way, so.
Yeah, and it had a nonsensical story, but at that point I stopped caring, so who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, the story, if you want, yeah, that story made absolutely no sense. Like, the future could affect the past and shit like that. Like, what?
Freak Five's back in chat. What's up, Freak Five? Eric,
had a good villain though. It's like,
yeah, and I liked Future
Cole is a good villain.
Hey, speaking of villains, Freak Five. Eric, next story, please.
Next story is from Gamatsu, and it's a port story. Conception 2: Children of the Seven Stars is coming to PC via Steam on August 16th via Spike Chunsoft themselves.
Dungeon.
I think the port job is actually being done by Extraction Games, who also do the port work for Danganronpa 1 and 2 and Zero Time Dilemma.
There you go.
But it will cost $20, and the first week purchases included 20% discount and a mini OST.
That's interesting. Dungeon Buster says Final Fantasy 13 couldn't even explain why Saz and his son were the only black people in the world. Yeah, where is Saz's girlfriend or wife who he had that son with? That's interesting.
Well, the thing is that actually I can explain that they were of a lesser known race of beings known as the Tokens.
No, I got a better explanation. That world was populated with police. So there you go. All right, let's move on, guys. That you guys didn't get that, did you? Or you did?
We got it. It just wasn't very funny.
I think it's funny, but whatever. That's all that matters. All right, Mug, next story, please. You guys suck.
Coming to us live from that was the Conception one, wasn't it? Coming to us live from Gematsu. Pray for the gods. That's P-R-E-Y. Har har. Pun pun. Coming to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, in addition to PC, the developer. Independent No Matter Studios has announced the game, which is currently in the crowdfunding process on Frank's favorite site, Kickstarter. After its launch earlier this month, had previously set a $600,000 stretch goal for a console release. Now the studio has confirmed it will release for consoles at the $300,000 base goal after the initial PC via Steam launch. Watch 4 minutes of the pre-alpha gameplay via a Polygon story last week below. Or you can click the link to fund the game on Kickstarter. And
like Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, it's like somebody – the first comment says, this is basically Shadow of the Colossus 2. Shadow of the Colossus was sick.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I'm still more interested in the Death's Gambit game.
Yeah, Death's Gambit sounds interesting. This game looks all right. Looks all right. I don't even know what to say, man. Kickstarter seems to be like that's the only thing people do nowadays. Whatever.
Or maybe you're just not paying that much attention and you just have this irrational hatred for Kickstarter.
No.
And there's also Indiegogo, too.
No, that's not true.
I can guarantee you it's not the only thing people are doing. It's just that, you know, you have this thing about Kickstarter.
I'm telling you, this hatred for Kickstarter is just to throw us all off.
You stupid Breakman.
He is heavily invested in Kickstarter.
Breakman.
He gets a pay cut.
I think what it is, he wants to start his own crowdfunding platform.
Oh, fuck so no. That
breaks him. A Kickstarter truther.
Yeah, right.
So basically, like, what he's trying to do is create Frankstarter.
So he can buy all those PS4 games.
Yes, exactly.
All right, next story, Mug. Smug Mug is going to be your new name, man. Your new intro.
Good, nice try, but you know, better men than you have tried and failed.
There are no better men than me, so you're wrong.
Maybe in the room, but that's not saying much. Anyway, I just did Pray for the Gods. I shouldn't have scared. I mean, I'll do this one if you want.
Oh, my God. Okay, Breakman.
Coming to us live.
No, Breakman.
Breakman. Final Fantasy Collector's Edition announced. Limited Day 1 editions also available. Square Enix has announced Collector's Limited and Day 1 editions of World of Final Fantasy with a whole bunch of shit in it. Collector's Edition is $119.99, which just comes from Square Enix's online store only. Oh, presented as a physical pop-up book, World of Final Fantasy comes to life through striking 3D paper cutouts. As the pop-up book is opened, fantastic physical content concealed in the book is revealed, including the physical game disc, a special 80-page hardback art book showing off the fresh toy-like visuals, the original soundtrack of the game's enchanting score, a set of 3 minifigurines, including the legendary Cloud, Lightning, and Squall. Boo, Lightning. Extra digital content, including the White Chocobo, Glow Moogle, and Red Bonnetberry Mirages. What the fuck is that?
It's like Sephiroth completely forgot about anything after 7.
Yeah, I
have. No, we've always got to have Lightning in there.
Hang on. A Sephiroth summon and a Japanese voiceover option add-on. The limited edition for PS4 and PS Vita for $59.99 at select retailers. Includes unique packaging available, including the physical game disc plus a 24-page art book. Extra digital content including White Chocobo, Glow Moogle, and Red Bonnetberry Mirages, the Sephiroth Summon, and Japanese voiceover option add-on. The Day 1 edition is $59.99 at all retailers. Includes the physical game disc and all the same digital stuff. So it seems like unless you really want the little physical goodies, like all the digital stuff is included. In all editions,
Freak 5 is exiled.
So there's actually a pop-up book is an add-in in this game.
Yeah.
Look, this it's the physical. It's like this pop-up thing. The actual game case is made to look like a physical like a book,
like an actual pop-up book for little children.
Yes.
Yes.
You're going to buy it, aren't you?
Let's see. Freak 5 is exiled again just because I want to exile.
And I guess I'll take the next story too.
No! No! Breakman!
I was fine with him taking that story too. Come to his live from Silken Era. Damn it. Harvest Moon Skytree Village gets a limited edition from NIS America. Harvest Moon Skytree Village fans can rejoice as the next entry in the Harvest Moon series is getting a special limited edition in North America. How could they be fans if they never played the game? Although Natsume is bringing in Nintendo 3DS exclusive game to North America audiences, I mean, they could be fans of the series, but they never played this game. They're bringing this to North American audiences, and NIS America is working with the publisher to deliver a limited edition featuring some additional collectibles. Today, NIS America has started taking pre-orders. In addition to a copy of the game, collectors who purchased the limited edition will get a 44-page softcover art book. Well, what the hell, Silicon Era? You don't even like put it in bulletin points like Gamatsu does.
Yeah, I know.
What the shit is this? This
like
is just
the Daily Mail. Silicon Era is the Daily Mail of game journalism.
Yeah, it really is. It's super awful.
Well, unlike Daily Mail, they don't lie. They just do incompetent job.
They
don't care, and they quit caring a long time ago.
Oh yeah, if they that's care. No question.
In addition to a copy of the game, collectors who purchase the limited edition will get a 44-page soft cover art book, a physical copy of the game soundtrack packaged in a jewel case, not telling us how many tracks are on that so-called soundtrack, plus some additional items packaged in a colorful box. So I question whether it's a full soundtrack or a partial demo tape or whatever. One of the more unique collectibles is a set of 6 label pens. What?
Lapel pins.
Lapel pins.
Lapel pins, sorry. Each pin is a unique representation of a signature farm animal from the series, including a dog, chicken, sheep, horse, donkey, and cow. Also of note is a rubber strap keychain in the shape of a blue feather. But a final image of that of what this particular item looks like has not yet been revealed.
A mystery item.
Yeah, list price at $49.99. In addition to the traditional farm life the franchise is known for, Harvest Moon Skytree Village tasks the players with restoring life to a barren land by cultivating the power of 7 legendary sky trees.
Okay. Yay. There you go. Woohoo! Yeah, there you go.
It'll be out in fall.
I'd much rather just get a cow plushie or something.
Yeah, me too.
So, you know, a couple months. Well, I guess technically summer ends in late September, so. Probably when they speculate October. So October, November, more than likely.
I'm kind of Harvest Mooned out. I've
never played Harvest Moon.
Yeah, it's fun. They're fun for a while, and then they're, you know, just. I think I've gotten everything out of those games that I can possibly get.
My suggestion is just to play Story of Seasons instead.
All right.
Just one. That's coming out soon.
Yeah. That's the end of the news.
I don't like that they don't list like how many tracks are on that soundtrack, because a lot of soundtracks we get are like, this is a soundtrack, and you get 12.
It's Harvest Moon, so I imagine it's probably the entire soundtrack.
Yeah.
I've never played them. Like,
they don't have very many soundtracks.
Okay.
All right. So that is the end of the news.
Whoa. Freak 5 Cast was talking about deleting all of his porn?
To get Skype so he can call in next week, because he's not going to be here next week.
Is the world freezing over?
Yeah, exactly.
Are we all going to die? Is this the apocalypse?
Back your porn and then delete it.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, like, I would tell him to just send it to me, but I don't want to know what kind of sick shit he's into.
Yeah, exactly.
I just lost my appetite.
Yeah. All right, that's the end of the news. On to homie discounts. We have some homie discounts for you guys this week. Eric, what do we got?
The Kenko sale's still going on, so there's that. And then there's stuff on PSN. Like, you can get Mega Man X, Maverick Hunter X for the PSP for like $5, I think.
Yeah.
$5 or $6.
Yeah, they had a really good superhero special going on PlayStation Network on the PS3 anyways. I think it's all the same, PS4, PS3, but some cool stuff. All right, any Twitter questions, Breakman?
Yes. All right. Let's see here. Let's go ahead and scroll down, because we all know who sent us something on Twitter. Freak 5 Cast says, when VR gets to the point where we are spending most of our hours in a simulated world, would people replace real pets for VR pets?
That's an interesting question. I could see that as being a yes, because obviously no mess, less money. Like, pets are a commitment. So a virtual pet, you know, doesn't die. Like, there's a lot of things that go along with that. So I could see that.
And when the virtual pet dies, it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah. What were you going to say?
I have a would you rather for Freak. Uh-oh. You guys do.
Oh, well, there's actually another comment from him.
Oh, go ahead.
I think that we need to inflict this on him as soon as possible.
Okay.
Would you like Freak? Would you rather go down on your grandfather, or have your grandmother go down on you?
Oh, Freak 5 has to answer that. We don't have to answer it. Good one. I like that. You've earned your keep for the next however long you want to be on the show, Mug. There you go. That's excellent. It's disgusting, and I don't know where you got that. Probably a lot of Freak 5s probably run rubbing off on Mug. That's what I'm guessing.
But Frank wishes Frank and Freak both wish they could rub off on me.
Oh, God. That is an awful thought. You're exiled, Mug. That's
awful. No. I should hang up on you. Rick's like, oh, look, I need to go later.
I should hang up on you. I should hang up on you, you son of a bitch. All right, Breakman, what's the other comment that we have?
Sorry. the other comment is, going back to last week's episode. I scrolled a little too far. My bad. Didn't mean to do that. I blame Freak 5 Cast.
Freak 5 says he has to go.
Frank Branches wasn't on the show yesterday or last week. He must have agreed that the GB would be better than DQ8. By GB, he means Ghostbusters. So no, you have to see it too.
No, no, that's not true. But I did see Ghostbusters, which I'll talk about later.
I don't want to hear it. I want to see it.
I won't spoil it. I promise. I won't spoil. So is that it?
Yep.
I guess that's it. All right.
There's some discussion about alcoholic drinks. Eric wanted to prepare for next week's episode.
Oh,
I didn't know if you wanted me to talk about that. Or
no. We'll be talking about episode 400 in a little bit, Ben. We'll talk about that. You don't have to go through that. All right. What have you been playing, Break?
Same old. Let me see. I played Halo 5 and Final Fantasy Record Keeper. That's pretty much it for the most part. Little Mega Man. That's about it.
Yeah, cool. All right, Eric, you're up. What have you been playing?
I played a little bit more Langris here, Reincarnation Tensei, and I got to the 22nd like map or something, or the battle, and I'm stuck on it. So I was like, yeah, I'm at the point where there's only like 5 more maps after this, so I'm just gonna write the review. The battle is really grueling because you have to protect them, whatever your arc, I guess it's a boat, from not getting invaded by the enemy, and you have to pretty much form blockade. But it's a battle of attrition since there are like no breaks in between each match, so you have to like kind of figure out when you should take on the final enemy of the first wave and second wave. Otherwise, you might not catch up to him in time, and you'll lose the battle. And there are no retries and checkpoints, so that, yay.
Hmm.
But I also finished The Legend of Heroes Trails of Sky SC, and the review of that is up on Boston Basher Brigade. It's a really good game. I wouldn't rate the first game in the series as highly because it's more of a setup for the second game. The payoff comes in the second game.
All right. What else, Eric?
I also played a little bit of Umi and Echo. When They Cry, Question Arcs, which is just chapters 1 through 4 of the game. And then there's 5 through 8 in the next game, which would be the answer arcs. I mean, when the game originally released, it was released episodically. But they decided to combine all 4 of them. And I think it was easier for them to do that because I think Witch Hunt, the fan translation group, which actually did the translation back before it was legit available for sale on Manga Gamer, I think they just paid them for the script. So they just threw it back in there and cleaned it up.
All right. What else, Eric?
I played a little bit of Sharon the Wanderer 5. It has a really long subtitle because they don't want to address the fact that it's the 5th game in the series for whatever reason. But I think it's called The Tower of Fate and The Die of whatever. I have to look at it again, but I don't really care because it's a long subtitle.
Yeah. All right.
But that's all I've been playing.
All right. What about you, Mug?
Well, I have not had a lot of new stuff going on, but I've been playing the original Infamous here and there, playing through it again. I did download the demo for King of Fighters 14, and I've been playing a lot of that. That's actually, I'm very pleased with how that game's turning out. It plays fantastic, and a lot of people are bitching about the look of it, and that's like, I think it looks great. It feels like the classic Neo Geo graphics in the modern day. It's bright and vibrant and everything. It's like 60 frames per second at all times. Yeah, I actually don't like Street Fighter V's look. It has that weird, the look in Street Fighter IV was that hyper expressive kind of bulky, painting-ish, cartoonish look, and it worked for that. But it's like they kept that same look, but they gave it like kind of more realistic lighting, which made it look darker and everything. And it just really doesn't.
Also,
doesn't
the
really
outfits
work.
For a lot of the characters look awful now. Look at Yuri.
You mean Yuri?
The one with the J.
Yeah, it's Yuri.
Oh, really? Because when I think of Yuri, yes. I think the Y.
Yeah, I know, but it's Yuri.
Yeah, she looks like she's wearing exercise tights.
Mm. All right, what else, Mug? Anything else?
I'm not even complaining about the fact that they covered her chest area up. Yeah. I don't know why they did that, but they did.
All right.
Well, I'm complaining, and I haven't seen it. It's ridiculous.
Of course you are.
Ridiculous. All right. Anything else?
No, that's it for me.
All right. Let's see. Did I get you? I got Break. Okay, and I got Eric. I just been playing MPQ. I'm holding my gameness until I fucking get a PS4. I just get so close, and then I just setback after fucking setback. I've talked about it before. So.
No, and then you gotta get the 360 or the 360. Yeah, you gotta get a 360.
Yeah, I do, dude. I have a 360. No,
I mean the Xbox One. Just kidding.
Xbox One.
Use 360.
I have a 360.
Then you need to get the Xbox One so we can play.
I do. I'm
so we can get back up on the pinball.
Yeah, the first thing I want to do. I've been kicking your ass at that pinball game, Break. Like everybody in my friends list, I've been pretty much kicking their ass on. I kick their ass on pinball for whatever reason. I'm pretty decent at that game. But,
I'm going to call a foul on that statement because, frankly, I don't believe Frank has ever beaten a game in his life.
Oh, get the fuck out of here. I've beaten more games.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's pinball. You can't actually beat it.
Yeah, dickhead. There you go.
Yeah, but I don't think he's ever gotten more than, say, 100 points in any given pinball game.
Oh, get out of here, you son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. Gayness. Yeah, no, definitely not my gayness. Let's see. Frank, did you listen to episode 50 of ZA? We got Torres to join. No, I didn't. I have to check that out, Freak 5.
What just happened? I don't
understand. Freak 5 has a podcast called Zombies Anonymous, which is pretty awesome. It's getting better and better. It's all, you know, it's not DMT level, but, you know, what can you expect, man? That's, you know, it's decent. There you go. That's about the best thing I'm ever going to say about Freak 5 Chaos. All right, let's move on to our Stinkos of the Week. Eric, you have a Stinko. Go for it, man. Eric, are you there? Earth to Eric.
I had me on for a second.
All right, so what's your Stinko, man?
My Stinko is about basically anything that involved the GOP and the RNC this week. But that's a Stinko of all time, I guess. But other than that, I had to replace my alarm clock because for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because of the power outage we had earlier this week or this weekend or last weekend, but my radio decided to give up on itself on the alarm clock, so I had to get a new one.
That sucks, man. Yeah, the RNC was pretty interesting, actually. Something interesting – a couple of interesting things happened at the RNC, but I should put that in my Stinko too. Yeah, I'll get to it. But one of them was Ted Cruz got booed at the RNC, which was
I think that was kind of a sweeto, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's,
like,
that's
yeah, but the reason why they were booing him was pretty shitty.
Yeah, but
no, I know,
yeah,
but.
I actually have to say that I was actually fairly impressed with what he said, and you know, he basically spoke in, you know, in favor of integrity and religious freedom for everyone, including
yeah.
atheists.
Yeah, yeah.
And right. they were like, "Fuck you!" And it's like, "Wow, you're, you know, he does something human for once in his life, and you hate him now."
Right, exactly. Right.
And he caused a big rift in the party too.
Yeah, which is good.
He shook some shit up.
He did not cause the rift. Let's be clear.
No, well, I'm just made it wider.
Like that's the big talk of the show. I mean, yeah. He was just like, "No, I'm not endorsing him." Yeah. He made fun of my parents and my fucking wife and shit. Why would I endorse him? You know?
Yeah, it was funny.
I was like, imagine that. I was like, who would have ever thought that Ted Cruz would be the one that showed integrity?
I know yeah. of all people,
but,
Ted
either,
Cruz.
Either there are going to be there are people actually rallying to him, but this is going to cause a rift in the party. It already has.
Yeah, which,
and
who
it's,
cares?
It's hurting them.
Yeah, Freak 5 says, "Oh my God, the little I watched from the RNC, the few black people I saw in the audience had scared looks on their faces." Yeah, that's true. I made the same observation, Freak 5. It was funny to watch, man. Like, that whole thing was a debacle. If you guys don't mind, I'm gonna go ahead and go with my Stinkos. Alex Jones was at the RNC.
Oh boy.
And Alex Jones is a piece of shit to begin with. Like, he's the one years ago spewing out the stuff about lizard men, and he's a conspiracy theorist, which
was a gigantic sellout for, or he gave a platform to gigantic moron, David Icke, right?
I hate conspiracy theorists like them. They give the rest of us bad names.
I like conspiracy theories.
The people that go looking for Bigfoot, like...
Yeah, I like conspiracy theories.
Damn it. Like, you give the rest of us skeptics, like, a bad name. Like,
two things. I mean, well, that's the thing. It's like, you're not dealing with skeptics. You're dealing with denialists. There's a very different... different. Two things. It's David Icke, actually, which is... Who fucking cares? It's David Icke. But
well,
Alex Jones is.
That's all I have to say.
This is true. But Alex Jones is a pimple on the ass of humanity. I mean, this is really the best thing, the kindest thing I can say about him. He is entertaining.
See, I was just about ready to say.
He believes in lizard men, huh?
Yeah, I was just about ready to say, Mug. Like, I like a good conspiracy theory, right? Like, I love watching X-Files and. You know, shit like that's interesting to me. I don't believe in any of that stuff.
It's not just that, but if there's no if people aren't thinking about conspiracies, people aren't going to look into what people are doing, like politicians, and that's one of the reasons they've gotten away with what they've gotten away with.
The thing is, when I see stuff like that, I mean, David Icke, he wrote this book, like the Biggest Secret or whatever it is, The Greatest Secret, you know, the hugest, largest secret.
I read that on a lark, and it was hard, painful. I couldn't read past, because it's 10 pages.
It's all stream of consciousness bullshit. But it's like, the thing is, you look at that, and it's like, you know, here's this massive conspiracy that no one knows about, that they've hit all these signs all over the place for, you know, for thousands of years, and it's really obvious if you only bother to look, but no one's figured it out yet except for me. It's this complete narcissistic bullshit.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Alex Jones was there, and that gives you a little context of Alex Jones, right? Weiland's in chat saying that Jones got bought by Trump, which I wouldn't doubt. Like, if you want a conspiracy theory, that's as good as any.
Well, more than likely, that's just him rallying behind the party type thing.
No, I don't
know. That's
man.
What I'm saying. Like, Ted Cruz not doing that, like, that's a big thing in the political world.
Here's a couple of things, all right? Weiland says Jonesy used to hate Trump, which is true. That's why I'm saying, like, maybe there
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying, like, he's doing it because he's, you know, it's the Republicans versus Democrats. That's the way most of those people will always look at it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. These aren't the reasons why Alex Jones is one of my stinkos this week. He crashed the TYT set, which I mean – TYT is
the Young Turks.
And that in itself is not super egregious, but when you start, like, when you, first of all, they were live, like, on their show. Like, you don't go to, like, CNN and, like, just, you know, bust in on their set and start taking over the show. Well, he did that with TYT, and that, to me, alone warrants him just being kicked out of the convention. But he brought on Roger Stone with him, and Roger Stone's a big piece of shit. He's a big liar. Chen called him out. It was a ruckus, man. It was awful. And Alex Jones is a dick. To be fair, one of the TYT guys, Jimmy Dore, I think that's his name. What's his name, Eric? Jimmy Dore. Yeah, he spit on Alex Jones, and I don't agree with that. Like, that was over the line, but still, Alex Jones had no right to crash that set. And he told everybody that he was invited on there and all this nonsense. Alex Jones is just one of these guys that likes to ruffle feathers just for ratings, and he's a piece of shit. So that's one. He brought a shirt that said rape with Bill Clinton's face on it. And, you know, even if you believe that, it's just tacky. Like, you don't do that on a live show. But the second one.
I disagree with that statement.
Well, you don't do that, dude. You don't.
No, I think, like, there's been so much denial, and there's been no.
Look, Brakeman.
Brakeman. I don't want to get into this. I think it's like a protest song. I think it's like protesting.
Look, you don't do that. You don't go on somebody's live show.
Well, more than anything else, hang on. But if I can just say one thing in regards to that, he was trespassing.
Yes.
Right. I'm not disagreeing with ever. I'm done disagreeing with anything else. Just to, like, the
look,
Clinton.
Quit being a pedantic.
Like,
Brakeman, if he wanted to go on his own show and do that, that's one thing. But to crash somebody else's show and start
totally agreeing with you. I was just disagreeing with your take on the shirt.
I just thought it was tacky. It's just completely tacky. You don't do that.
I've seen shirts with you know, with like anti-cop slogans on them. What's wrong with those shirts?
You guys know me. I'm anti-cop, right? I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't take an anti-cop shirt and put it in front of the host's face on a live fucking show and just parade it around.
I'm not talking about in a live show. I'm talking like in a protest setting.
That's fine, but what I'm saying is you don't interrupt the live
show. Then we're in agreement.
Right.
Then there's no reason to argue.
So that's what I'm saying. That's what I have a problem with. I don't have a problem with the shirt. Like, if you think that, you think that. That's fine. But, you know, going on a live show, and he was just tacky. You got to watch it, man. It's just bullshit. The second stinko, and this has been, like, 3 weeks in a row that I've complained about cops, speaking about cops. there was a Miami police shooting where
Is the most ridiculous thing I've absolutely ever seen.
It is absolutely awful, man. And there's two stinkos that go along with this, so this is going to be kind of an extended stinko for me. There was a guy, I can't remember his last name, but he was on the ground when the police arrived. He got on the ground. He put his hands up clear. He didn't have a weapon. He was a caretaker for an autistic kid who was sitting there with a toy truck in his hand. And the cops had him at gunpoint. He was trying to explain. You could hear him clearly explain, you know, it's a toy truck. You know, I'm a caretaker. Completely prone, right? Guess what the cop does? Any guesses what the cop does? He shoots the fucking guy. And, of course, he's a black guy. So that adds to it, you know. Guilty of being black, officer. Go ahead and shoot.
Have you heard about the supposed explanation?
I'm getting to that, Mug. Getting to it. Okay, so not only was this guy prone, had his arms up, was very respectful, was trying to explain everything to the officers. The guy ends up getting shot on the fucking ground. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be fucking kidding me. The explanation that came directly from the chief's mouth, and you know what? It's deplorable, and I fully expected something like this. They were trying to, and I'm trying to quote him here, protect him, the guy on the ground. I can't remember his last name. They were trying to protect
him. That's actually not the one I heard.
Yeah,
no, that's not the one.
He was
actually
trying to shoot the other guy.
That's right. He was trying to shoot the autistic kid. To protect the guy laying on the ground. That's what the explanation was, which there are two things here. Either A, you were trying to shoot the black guy, which I believe he was trying to shoot the black guy based on how many stories we've had about this. But let's say it was the opposite. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
That's neither what I heard.
Okay, hold on. Let's give this guy the benefit of the doubt. Let's say he was trying to shoot the autistic kid with a fucking toy truck.
That's not the benefit of the doubt.
I'm just saying.
There's no benefit to the doubt in pulling a trigger in this.
Well, look, that's the explanation that the police chief gave, right? He was trying to save the black guy by shooting the autistic kid or guy, man, whatever, with a toy truck in his hand. So either way, it's deplorable.
What I heard was from the guy who got shot side that the cop who shot him said, "I don't know why I pulled the trigger," like repeatedly said, "I don't know why I pulled the trigger."
Yeah,
I heard him say shit like, "Why did you shoot me? I don't know." You know, but yeah. I don't know. I didn't hear the.
I don't know. Like he kept saying, like he has no idea why he did it. Is what I heard.
Yeah.
So like it sounds like he just. I don't know. He panicked as a cop and made the worst decision you possibly can to shoot
another human being. How could you panic with somebody laying on the ground and another person sitting on the ground not doing anything? Where's the panic? Like there was no panic.
I've got something like – well, it's not directly related, but it's of a very similar thing where it's apparently this guy – it's like this footage from a helicopter where this guy was caught after – like he'd gotten cornered after a car chase. Mm-hmm. And it's like they got him. It's like – and there's – you know, and he gets like he opens the door slowly, gets like puts his hands out of the car first, slowly gets out, and like just he immediately it's like he drops to the ground slowly, gets down, puts his hands on the ground, and lies down flat, and all these like eight cops run over and just start beating him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a regular occurrence. Wipix and I were talking about it today. Like, it's seriously getting scary for us to even leave our house. Like, we were thinking of stuff to do today, like go out to the dog park to avoid this heat box that we're in, or go to the movies. And we were like, you know what? It's not even worth it. It's not even worth going out of my fucking house anymore because of this nonsense. Not only do I not want myself to get killed or my kids or my wife, but I don't want to even see that. I don't want to see somebody get killed. And then Wipix made a great point. She's like, you know, like, even if somebody's in trouble, how can we call the cops? Like, without thinking that somebody's going to get killed, either the cop or the person that you're calling for to help. Like, and that's sad. That's a sad commentary on the state of police affairs here in the United States. It was awful. And it just, all these things are just awful. And this is, I mean, the fact that he didn't get killed, that's what we're hanging on to now. The fact that this guy didn't get killed, that's what everybody's praising. Well, at least he didn't get killed. He didn't get killed. That's what we're
thing, because police officers, generally when they pull their weapon, they are trained to kill.
Yes.
At that point, when they have their weapons drawn, they're trained to kill. So it is kind of a miracle that he didn't kill the guy.
Well, that's what the police chief said. He was trying to kill the other guy.
No, I'm not like trying to defend it.
No. I know that
it's a good thing he didn't kill him.
I'm adding to your point, Breakman. Like that's what the police chief did say. Like they were trying to kill the autistic guy. So we're back to thinking that black people and people with mental disabilities are subhuman in the eyes of police. That's truly how they feel. And then, you know, there have been certain I'm going to say something positive about police here, okay, which hardly ever happens.
What?
There's very few, but I think there's one or two police forces that I'll have to look up which ones that are getting special training in regards to people with mental illnesses. Shootings have gone down in those jurisdictions because of the training. So, you know, training's one big way that we can start taking care of this problem. And for anybody who thinks that Black Lives Matter is the problem, you're part of the problem if you think Black Lives Matter is the problem. That's, to me, that's ridiculous. These, you know, that movement has been perfectly peaceful as far as anything that I've seen. You know, all this propaganda that, you know, that these subgroups, like senators have said, like Black Lives Matters is the problem. They're not the problem. They're actually part of the solution. So, you know, without anybody talking about it, including myself, then change is impossible. So, you know, they want Black Lives Matter to just, you know, shut their mouths and bow their heads and all this, but that's not what this great country is based on. It's based on people being outspoken and against these type of things. So those are my stinkos of the week. Breakman, your stinko this week.
Okay, I've got a couple. First one being to Mrs. Breakman's car, which she gave me a call yesterday saying it started stalling out on her and shit like that. So yay, her car's giving us trouble now. And the reason I wasn't able to go see Ghostbusters today, like I kind of wanted to, was I had to wait for the plumber to show up.
If
you know the plumber showing up, you know, that's bad news. And the news he gave us was kind of worse than...
Oh, no. What's going on? Like roots? Tree roots?
Well, the problem with this house is it's an old house.
Yeah.
So that means a lot of the plumbing in this house is old. And when I say old, I mean galvanized steel old.
Yeah, shit. That sucks, man. Broken pipes.
Yeah, so that's a big problem.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'll get to see Ghostbusters because I think things are about to get really expensive.
Yeah. What else? What else, man? Anything else?
Isn't that enough?
Yeah, that's enough, dude, for sure. Mug, what about you, man?
Mug's going to top us all.
Yeah, of course.
No, I mean, the shit that's, you know, annoying in my life, it's pretty goddamn annoying, but it's not like, you know, this country is in, you know, the politics of this country are in, you know, severe danger kind of problems. But but my job has gotten stranger. the boss contracted out to this other place to do to call and set up evaluations for people whose special needs children need evaluations for ongoing therapy. And the it's like, okay, I mean, and that's cool. And it's like, you know, basically it was like, you know, you do this and it'll get you more hours and keep your hours up and keep you, you know, making decent money and so on and so forth. Yeah, sounds great. Only the problem is the way that it works is for all the hours that we work, this person is paying out a flat rate plus a bonus if someone actually, you know, schedules an appointment and walks in the door. And as it turns out, we're not getting paid that. We're just getting our regular hourly rate.
Yeah.
And so, and he's, and he's like, he's pocketing the rest of it.
Oh, nice.
And so, that's kind of a problem. And so we're trying to figure that out and how that's going to work. And in related job news, I don't know if you guys know, it's a deal with like a process serving company. And my wife, you know, like I had to try and serve this job. Basically this guy is like this abusive asshole and he's, you know, with the job was to serve him divorce papers. Mm-hmm. And you know, the divorce and child support arrangement and everything, basically you're being sued. You need to show up in court and he's been dodging service and his family's covering for him.
Yeah.
But do you guys know what – I mean, you guys – I mean, Frank, you sound like you're familiar with, you know, when I say process serving. Eric and Brake, do you know what I mean?
I'm pretty familiar with that. I haven't been personally served with anything like that because I usually take of
– Yeah. Like, do you know what drop service is?
Remind me, man. I probably do. Just don't know.
Well, basically, it's like if you can identify – it's like, okay, I'm supposed to serve – Frank Branches, as a name.
Yes.
If Frank Branches, you know, if I go and I happen to see you, and you're like, no, I don't know who Frank Branches is, and it's like, but I have a picture of you, I can identify you by sight, then I can say like, I know you're Frank Branches. I can drop the papers at your feet and say you have been served.
Yes.
It's the same as you accepting them.
Yeah.
But anyway, what happened was apparently this guy has been, you know, these people were married for like almost 2 decades and he's an abusive asshole. And so there was a restraining order and then it just lapsed. And so it was like, okay, you know, he's supposed to come over to this place to pick up his daughter. And so it's like, okay, so I go over there. And I'm going to, you know, it's like, I'm going to try and serve him. And basically what happens was he sees me and it's like with papers in my hand and he books it out of there. He's in his car. So what happened was my wife, went, she was like, okay. And she called his wife and, like, okay, I spoke to my lawyer. Here's what we can do. We meet at this place. And, you know, it's like, and he texts, like, apparently he texts her and he's like, no, you can't. You know, like, rather, my lawyer advised me not to meet at the house, so on and so forth. Meanwhile, he was there, but what happened was my wife goes out there, and you know, like, it's a different person. He's not going to suspect that. But anyway, what happens is she's just kind of fiddling around in the parking lot of this place, and. And she just kind of arranges it so that she, you know, as he's driving around, it's one of those places where there's like the traffic has to be very slow. And she leans over the hood of his car and plants the papers underneath his windshield wiper and says, "You have been served."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Damn, that was awesome." But what the guy did, and he's apparently like shaking his head, and he backs up, and he actually hits forward and tries to hit my wife.
Oh my God, awful!
Yeah, and I mean, she just stepped out of the way, but she said it was about 6 inches, you know, 6 inches closer, and he would have clipped her. And it's like, you know, it's almost a shame that he didn't just bump you, and because it's like because then apparently he has a lot of money, and we could have sued the shit out of him. But you know, fuck that guy.
That's
glad.
And
the great thing is, apparently, he's in complete denial. And so he drove. He like turned on his windshield wipers, drove off, and the papers dropped on the ground. So it's like, okay, well, you know, you deciding that you haven't been served doesn't mean you haven't been served.
Right.
You know, you've got an affidavit of service and an affidavit of evasion filed with the courts stating that yes, you have. But the thing is, what's funny about that is that it's like okay, which means that it's been filed with the courts. And he's been served, although he doesn't have any of the information because he refused to actually take any of it. And since he probably won't show up for any of it, he'll wind up with a default judgment against him, which means she will get absolutely everything she asks for.
That's kind of the way that it should work out. Dickheads like that to me, that's kind of justice, Mug. That's a good thing in my opinion.
The end result was good, but the asshole trying to hit my wife is not so much.
No, not so much, man, for sure.
Sadly, I'm not done. Last week we had some really nasty storms, and a storm kind of popped up and hit us out of nowhere. And fried my television. I mentioned this before. Yeah, this guy had a nice 46-inch Samsung 3D television. And it's like this lightning strike hit, and I hear this pop, and the TV cuts off. And I'm thinking, shit. I was like, maybe this. It was like a snap. And I was like, okay, maybe the breaker just tripped or whatever. So, and I thought, it's like, all right, we unplug everything. And finally, we wait for the storm to pass. I start plugging stuff back in, and the TV won't turn back on. And it's like it's just doing this weird little clicking. I look it up, and it's like, yep, your capacitors are blown. It's like, and here's what you can do to replace them. It's like, well, it requires soldering and finding the capacitors and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, wow, that's really well beyond my skill set. And apparently would cost more than the TV is worth to replace or to repair. I was like, that's a massive pain in the ass. And it also killed my the cable modem, and it killed my parental control router, and I still had like about 8 months left on the service plan for that, like on the subscription thing. What's funny is like we got this thing, the thing's called Skydog, and it's this really solid parental control router with lots of flexibility and scheduling and all that kind of good stuff. And when it started to take off, Comcast was like, ooh, that's a really good product. Let's, we'll buy it. They bought it, and they immediately discontinued it and said essentially that, when you bought it, you got a 3-year subscription, and your subscription will continue to be good until it lapses, and after which point, the router would no longer be, would no longer be usable. And so we can't get a replacement for the router because they're not making any more of them.
That sucks.
But the only good thing that came out of that is that we called the manufacturer of the power strip, and they were extremely accommodating, and they're like, okay, we'll send here's the home number of the president of the company. It's like, holy shit.
What?
I know. And it's one of those power squid things. It's a fairly small company. And but anyway, they're like, okay, yeah, just send it over and we'll evaluate it. And the thing's covered for up to like $75,000 of damages.
Yeah.
Wow. And so it's like if we find that there's a problem with the unit, we will we will reimburse you for the cost, or we'll pay for the cost of repair or replacement as necessary.
That'd be awesome. I was like,
damn. Yeah.
How many hits can power supplies take before you just get a new one?
Generally one.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So good thing you had it on that power strip, man. I mean, maybe, potentially.
I need to get a power strip for my TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other weird thing is that apparently because of that lightning strike, it fucked up the voltage going into from the coaxial cable. So we were getting we're normally this is not super fast internet we're dealing with 65 megabits per second downstream, which is it's very average for the U.S., which means to say it kind of sucks. But it was we were getting 8 millibits, megabits per second downstream. It's like, that's not supposed to happen. It's like, it was like I called them and they're like, okay, we did the signal. It looks like there's a voltage problem, so we've got to send a tech out, and they're going to be coming over tomorrow evening.
Yeah.
Or no, sorry, Sunday evening. So we have functioning internet. It just doesn't function very well, and we have to replace the router, and we have to replace or repair the television, which is just a massive pain in the ass.
That sucks, man. Dungeon Buster is pouring one out on the ground. Hey, Dungeon Buster is pouring one on the ground for Moria's fried electronics. Just don't pour them on your electronics, Dungeon Buster. You'll have the same problem. Let's see what else. Good guy Power Squid, Dungeon Buster says. Freak 5 Shady is Freak 5 Chaos is saying, I am pouring one in my mouth for Mugs Electronic. Yeah, I bet you're pouring something in your mouth, Freak 5. All right, so anything else, Mug?
No, that was it.
I think I got everybody there. What about Sweetos? You already kind of alluded to your Sweeto. Anything else, Moria?
Well, I did kind of cover the Sweeto. But the I was going to say I did cover the Sweeto with the Power Squid people. That's, you know, that's cool. And but the other thing is that our situation with the company that's that does the scheduling and everything for the therapy evaluations. Mm-hmm. They seem very amenable to helping us out and, you know, getting us into a position where we can actually get paid in full for what we're doing. So hopefully that'll work out.
Yeah.
Which would help us, which, mm-hmm. you know, basically it would mean a lot more money coming in and a lot less stress all around. The only bad thing about the job is the schedule is like 7 to 11 at night.
Yeah. Oh man. So, yeah.
I mean the hours are shit, but the money is good.
Yeah, that's good, man. I mean, that's some positive news. You've been having a run of bad luck lately, Moria.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna go with Breakman Sweeto next. Anything this week?
Yes. I glazed over my what we've been playing, like, you know, because I've been playing the same thing.
Dude, like, I know you've if you've been playing the Arrowgate, I don't want to hear about any games you've glazed over.
Yeah, go ahead.
So let me see. Earlier today, I got all of my Final Fantasy Record Keeper characters above level 50.
Oh,
cool. To at least level 50 and above, and that's like 120 characters or something like that.
That's cool. It's really cool.
Took a long time, but they're finally all up out of there.
You spend an awful lot of time on these Stinkos.
So what? That's what we do, man. All right, what else?
And then also, about an hour later, this was after the plumber had left, I started playing a little Halo, and I got my character up to level 100.
Sweet. That's another good
Sweeto. I know. It's not much of anything, but that's my Sweeto.
Cool.
It's a small victory. Take them where you can get it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Eric, let's go with yours.
Sweetos?
Yes.
Okay. My first Sweeto is, does anybody know who Nero is on Twitter?
Yes, I do. I know who Nero is.
Or his real name, Mile Yamanopoulos, or
yes.
I think that's what it's...
Yes. Yes, I'm very familiar.
Anyways, the Breitbart writer.
Yeah, anyways, he's been banned from Twitter for violating their terms of service.
I don't understand it,
though,
Eric.
He should have been a long time ago, back when he lost his verification status. That's all they did to him then. They should have got rid of him then.
Yeah,
but basically, he started a harassment campaign against Leslie Jones. Of course, he didn't actually participate in the harassment. He just kind of egged everybody else on.
Yeah, this is what I have a problem with, Eric. Like,
it's kind of like Bill O'Reilly in a way.
Yeah, he's a douchebag. There's no question about it. But in this instance, like, I don't think him being banned from Twitter was proper. Like, they could have done.
He probably shouldn't have been. I mean, but I am glad that he's gone.
Yeah, I agree. Like, he'll be back in some form or fashion. I'm sure.
But I do find it his weaselly method of acting like he's being persecuted is, of course, weaselly.
Yeah, of course. All right, what else,
so,
man?
So, do you think it's a violation of free speech or not?
No, it's not a fucking violation. Twitter is a private company. They can ban whoever they fucking want.
Yeah, they can do what they want, man.
Like, and the people are saying, like, you know, you can't, you know, so people are saying, like, you can't, you know, you don't want to allow people to discriminate against gays and transgenders or whatever, and, like, you know, you can't bake a cake for whatever, a gay wedding. But you can ban this guy. It's like, well, here's the thing. You can't discriminate against someone for something like their like their race, their ethnicity, their sexuality, their their physical handicaps or anything like that, because these are things that people don't have any control over. Like, but you absolutely can, you know, refuse service to someone on account of them being an asshole and harassing your other patrons.
Yeah.
Or inciting inciting harassment of your other patrons.
Right. You know, just to add to the Alex Jones thing, Milo was interviewed by Alex Jones. So that tells you that kind of the circle.
He's also kind of like Trump in that he's just orchestrating chaos just to make himself more popular.
Yeah, he sucks, man. I'm not a fan of Milo.
He's a sociopath.
Yeah, he's not cool. What else, Eric? Anything else?
My other one was the East May 8 music is being uploaded on the Falcom Music Channel. On Twitter, on YouTube, cool. I mean.
That's awesome.
That's really cool. Not bad selections I've seen.
I'm hoping, because like I've heard samples from like the little mini soundtrack that they were including with the game, and I wasn't impressed with any of it. I'm like, I loved E7's music. I was like, the stuff for Memories of Salsetto was okay. Yeah. I mean, like it's E4 music, except for a few new tracks, and it's like it's good composition, but I didn't care much for the remixes. And it's like I just wasn't hearing anything particularly outstanding from what I've heard from East 8 so far.
I was kind of mad until so they got rid of some of Mask and Dawn of East's tracks, and they replaced it with something completely new, and it wasn't that great. The final boss music is like some weird butt rock stuff.
Yeah. All right.
I'm pretty certain that the final boss music was not new.
Yeah.
It was like rearranged in such a way that it didn't sound like the old track at all, if that was the case.
I don't remember.
Because the final boss wasn't El Deal. It was someone else.
Yeah. All right. My sweet-o this week, guys, is pretty simple. Next week, we're celebrating episode 400. I mentioned it before. Special guests, some surprises, possible GDP, depending on how long. I plan on next week's show being a little bit longer. I don't
3 hour
say
show,
long.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not that long, but it might be a little bit longer. But next
you'll be begging us to quit the show.
Yeah, right. Well, like today I'm fucking sweating, man. Like seriously sweating. So I hope everybody joins next week. Eric's put a lot of work into the show. I put a lot of work. Breakman and Mug do as well. I really did work hard to get shit together this week. I know Eric did. But I hope the fruits of my labor are good next week. I hope everybody enjoys. I will say this. I got a special intro for next week. Also going to debut a new intro and outro, which, it's a little different than what
I just heard something weird.
What's that, Eric? That you
it's a tweet.
Your face!
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a tweet here. It says, Dynamite and Shout Factory team up for Red Sonja animated film.
Yeah, apparently that was more important than episode 400 next week, so there you go.
It's not episode 400 yet.
Well, I know, but I'm talking about it, Eric. Like seriously, dude. Like, all right, let's move on. Join us next week. It's going to be a fun time. Like I said, I put a lot of work in it. I know Eric has. The other two guys, Break and Mug, always, do a fantastic bang-up job. There's going to be some fun stuff next week. So hopefully you guys will join next week and listen. All right, Eric, you have a review this week.
Yeah, I got a review of an anime called And You Thought There Is Never a Girl Online. Yes, that's exactly how it's phrased. And no, it does not sound grammatically correct in the least. But that's what the show's called. It's a 12-episode miniseries, I guess. Or maybe just, I don't know. Because there could be a second series, but probably not. But it's about how this kid plays an online net game, like one of those web-based MMOs. But he and his group of friends on the game decide to meet each other in real life, and he finds out that they all go to a school, and they're all girls. So it almost kind of has a feeling of a harem anime, but no, it's really just them doing things as a club. Because they start a club for the net game that they play, and it boils down to this one particular girl in his club that he ends up forming a relationship with. But the problem with this girl is that she can't differentiate the real world from the game world, and he tries to help her eat, like, break the habits that she makes in the game in real life. And, like, he keeps doing a couple things and it's just not working. Because, like, I guess in the real world, she keeps calling him his character name, and that she keeps addressing him as her husband because they're married in the game. So, stuff like that. It's okay, it's cute, but it was free on Funimation's YouTube channel, so I watched it.
Alright, cool,
man. And I'm going to give it a 6.
That's cool. Little above average. For free, what can you expect, man?
It does a lot better job of doing the online MMO thing than SAO or even PSO2 anime did.
No.
Just don't even watch SAO. SAO is terrible.
All right. Breakman, I'm going to do a spoiler-free, real quick Ghostbusters review. I'm not going to add much to what Eric has said. It's in my opinion, it's good. It's definitely different. It's not your old Ghostbusters, so if you're expecting nostalgia in spades, it doesn't have that. But it does have nostalgic things in it. But I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. I actually really enjoyed the movie. I don't understand why it's getting so much hate. It's a good movie.
Well, I think most of it is people have just decided to hate it before. You know, like, it doesn't matter if the movie is good or not. And then they come up with
excuses later, like, oh, it's not thoughtful cinema, and people can't just enjoy things for the sake of entertainment's sake.
Right. And by the way, the female cast was excellent. I enjoyed each.
Oh yeah, I guess I can include my lulls for this week. But there's a Arrow Gay or Nuki Gay coming out on Manga Gamer that they're releasing called Fun Bag Fantasy, and you can imagine what goes on there.
Fun Bag Fantasy. Oh, you got Breakman's attention now.
About it firsthand because the anime adaptation actually came out before the localization of the game was announced. Yeah. And, well, if you went online and looked for torrents of hentai anime. But it was called something different then, but I imagine the Japanese part of that name is what translates into fun bags.
Yeah. I'm
it's like Keon Yu.
Oh, I can see Fun Bag Fantasy right now. Holy cow. That's interesting.
Were you looking? You went to Manga Gamer?
No, I went. I just put in Fun Bag Fantasy, and it's wow.
Well, into Google, and you found it there.
Oh yeah, yeah. Fun Bag Fantasy, man. It's there.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's the first thing that shows up.
Yeah. All right, Breakman. You have.
Hold on. Review. I'm busy. I'm looking this up.
I was gonna say one thing. Though,
so yeah, I was like, I absolutely Eric. Have to view this game now. Yeah.
Well, hold on, Eric. What were you going to say, Maury?
I was going to say one thing about Ghostbusters is that it's not a flop, but it's not doing very well.
It's actually doing better than you think, man.
It's not doing well. Let's put it this way: it had a production budget of $144 million.
Yeah.
Its worldwide total as of today is $83 million.
Yeah.
The problem is it's banned in China.
That doesn't help. But the problem is, you bear in mind, it has to make – I mean, it's been a very heavily marketed movie, and it has to make pretty much twice its production budget to become profitable.
It's going to make 3 times its budget. It'll be profitable.
Not at the rate it's going.
Oh, no. I mean, dude, trust me. Like every time you think a movie – like even that movie Waterworld, as bad as that flopped, it'll eventually make its
money. No, that's the thing. Waterworld wasn't a flop. It was just a bad movie. The problem is, you know, when you have a massive budget movie like this Ghostbusters movie and it has a domestic – you know, a domestic gross of $65 million and a foreign gross of $18 million after a week of release, you know – numbers don't go up in following weeks; they drop. It's continuing, you know, diminishing returns. Like, it may eventually become profitable, but it's not going to be profitable in theaters. Not at the rate it's going.
I think it will be. Like, I'm thinking the budget.
That's not how Hollywood works, dude.
I know how if anybody knows how Hollywood works, Mug, it's me. I have a lot of inside information to that. All right, so let me tell you this: it's going to make double. $144 million. So it's going to at least break even theatrically. And then when you count in DVD sales and Blu-ray sales and digital sales. Like, that movie's going to make money. Now, whether or not the studio wants to make a sequel, that's the question right there, man. Well, there's no question.
The problem there is, like, what the studio's wanting is for it to be a massive runaway hit, and it's obviously not that.
Right. That we agree with. It's not a runaway hit, but that's just because of the stupid haters, man.
The thing is, I honestly don't think that's the problem, because you have, just like in both cases, you have two very small, extremely vocal minorities, you know, who are determined to defend the movie despite any problems with it, or determined to bash the movie despite any of its merits.
Yeah.
And those are the people. Those are the people who get the most attention. The vast majority of moviegoers don't give a shit either way.
Yeah, I think if you look at it objectively, Mug, like I agree with Rotten Tomatoes on its assessment of this movie. Like, it's getting like 75%, dude. Like, that's
that's you know, critical reception though. Right. That's not, you know, that critical reception doesn't equate to ticket sales. If you look at like Edge of Tomorrow, that movie got like a 90 or 92%, and it's a really good movie, but it bombed.
No, right. I mean, that's going to happen. You're going to have movies that are 30% that make a gazillion dollars. Just look at the stupid Transformers movies. I mean,
you're going to have Transformers.
Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious. Well, actually, Fast and Furious is critically acclaimed. Most of them, like if you look at the RT on those, like they're getting 78.
I didn't like the first one, so I stopped.
Yeah, I saw the first one. I didn't like it either. I'm not, you know, I don't like muscle cars and all that.
Yeah, but I'm surprised. But apparently, that's gotten good reviews. Just based on everything that we've seen to date is Star Trek Beyond.
Oh no, I'm not surprised. Like I've heard good things.
I mean, when I saw the first trailer, I was thinking like, oh fuck, this looks awful.
Yeah.
No, it had like, you know, the Star Trek playing, you know, it was, you know, with Beastie Boys Sabotage playing over it. I'm just like, this is not look promising.
Yeah. Ghostbusters wasn't a perfect movie. Dungeon Busters talking about how they could explain the gap. But I just think they rebooted it, man, pretty much. I mean, if you look at
it's not that there's a gap. It's, you know, that's, you know, it is a reboot of the series.
Yeah, it's like if you look at it like an alternate timeline or, you know, alternate universe type deal, that then it works. You know, it's a decent movie. I like it. So
the cameos were dumb.
I mean, I don't have an opinion on the movie itself. I haven't seen it and probably won't until it hits Netflix.
That's good. It's good, man. I think it's worth seeing.
Basically, it's like, you know, people are like, well, why don't you want to see it? It's not that I don't want to see it. It's just I don't feel – it doesn't look like the kind of movie that that motivates me to endure going to a theater to watch it.
It's worth it. It's worth it, man. There's some laugh out loud moments in that movie that make it worth it alone. And the cast is good.
Only hope for Star Trek Beyond is that it's better than the first two films, because the first two films has a lot of dumb moments in
it. I like the first two films.
I haven't seen Into Darkness. I've heard lots of people complaining about it. I liked the first one.
Those are the haters.
I liked the first one too, but I didn't see the second one either.
Into Darkness is good too.
I think J.J. is a terrible writer. That's all I have to say.
Well, I like J.J. both Abrams of the movies.
He didn't direct this one. I don't know if he wrote it, but
not this one. The guy, speaking of Fast and Furious,
it's my hope that it's a better movie.
The director of Fast and Furious is directing Beyond, so but it's getting good reviews.
Because when I saw that trailer, I was thinking, ah, shit, this is gonna be like when Brett Ratner took over the X-Men franchise.
Oh God, awful. Yeah. No, it looks good. It looks good. Beyond looks good.
Furious doesn't instill me with confidence either, but at least he might be doing enough crazy shit in it that I might not care anyway. Yeah.
All right, let's do this, and then we're going to do a real quick free-for-all. Breakman, your review of Jessica Jones, and please, no spoilers, I have not seen Jessica Jones.
Okay, this is the second of the Marvel television shows on Netflix, and I managed to watch all of it in a relatively short period of time because, well, you know, with not having money because of things going on, what else can you do but sit around and watch TV, right?
Yeah.
So it's really good, which I guess you all expect. Because at this point, they are making a really good Marvel franchise on Netflix.
Yeah.
Setting it up. Because now we've got Luke Cage is the next one. That'll be out in September.
Can't wait for that one either, man.
Yeah, I know. Because he was introduced in this season of first season of Jessica Jones. Luke Cage.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Power Man.
Yeah, I know.
Power Man. So he'll be his series will be next, and that's out in September. And then I think it's the I know they announced Daredevil, but I think the next thing is going to be Iron Fist.
Yes, can't wait for that either.
I think after Luke Cage.
Yep,
the only time I've ever seen Power Man and Iron Fist is when they showed up, when they crossed over with Spider Man. I mean, they kind of did cameos in Spider Man, so I don't really know much about them.
Oh God, there's some interesting stories. Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist.
That's the thing. I know a bit about Luke Cage and Iron Fist. I can't read all the comics. I don't have the money to go out and get them.
A movie adaptation of a Marvel property I don't want to see happen is Spider-Man the X-Men versus Arcade's Revenge.
I'm waiting for Howard the Duck, personally.
What was I talking about? Because I forgot now.
Did you see Howard the Duck in Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes, that's why I mentioned it.
What was I saying? Because I completely forgot.
You were talking about Jessica Jones.
Right. Okay, Jessica Jones. So the next I think is Iron Fist, and they announced a third season of Daredevil, and they announced earlier that Punisher is going to get a season, and at some point they're going to become the Defenders. So they've got a lot of plans ahead for Marvel on Netflix.
Luke Cage series coming soon?
Yeah, September. Yes, I said that awesome. For the third time I've said this now.
Sorry, I might have walked out of the room for a second when you said that.
That's fine. I thought you weren't listening.
I was having a sneezing fit and I was trying to take care of this.
Break or something else, dude.
Like I said, it's really good. I give it an 8 out of 10. The villain in this movie, I going into Jessica Jones, I knew absolutely nothing about it except for I knew somewhat. I knew of the villain.
Yeah.
I knew of the Purple Man, which he has never referred to at any point in this movie, in this show. His name is Kilgrave, and they do make some fun of that, which is pretty awesome. He is one of the most sadistic, twisted human beings ever.
Yeah, I heard.
He is a very, very sick man, and he definitely helps the show, having a good villain. That's what helped Daredevil the first season, was having a great villain in Wilson Fisk.
Wilson Fisk was an awesome villain.
He was never referred to as the Kingpin.
Nope, he was not.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I don't think they referred to Murdoch as Daredevil either.
Nope, not yet.
Yes, they do. I don't think they ever do in the first season. They refer to him as the Devil of Hell's Kitchen. It's not until the second season where they actually start calling him Daredevil.
Okay, and I haven't watched the second season, but that's coming up. I'm only doing that soon. I give it an 8 out of 10.
There's a car driving Ghost Rider.
And you know what? This is the only series in all of the Marvel Universe where people are actually having sex, too.
Yeah.
Jessica Jones is, and Luke Cage, apparently the only ones who ever get some in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, exactly.
I think sex happens in Daredevil Season 2.
Does it? Yeah. I haven't seen all of Season 2, so, But that's actually
I have to just interject here. Ghost Rider with a fucking car is a terrible, terrible, terrible idea.
Ghost Rider the Whip, man.
Yeah, I agree. Well,
I do like the cool effect of whatever vehicle Ghost Rider gets in becomes like his ride. And that's been done to some cool effects, but that is like the only cool thing.
He's supposed to be driving a goddamn he's supposed to be driving like a chopper with monkey bars.
Look, the only cool thing about Ghost Rider is the way he looks. That's
no.
No, so, Ghost Rider in the comic.
Ghost Rider
awesome.
Was awesome, and I will hit you.
Yeah, I agree. I'll hit you too. Yeah, Ghost Rider's awesome. I like Ghost Rider quite a bit, but it's been a while since I've read the comics.
Freak Podcast says it's Herbie.
Yeah, Herbie.
a flaming. Actually, better yet, he'll be driving a flaming Volkswagen bus.
Freak 5 says, "How about Ghost Rider on a Segway?"
better yet, Ghost Rider in Heelys.
As long as that Segway wheels light on fire, I'm down. Ghost Rider on Segway,
trail
I'm down.
Of fire.
Yeah. Damn. Holy shit! What is that picture? Oh shit, dude! I think if you see the link that.
That looks all wrong.
No, it looks cool.
I can't even see what the car actually looks like. It's consumed in fire.
Looks, That looks awesome. That's a good idea, no, man. I like that. Look, I like it.
Looks
that's
looks like a dude, entirely bad idea. It looks like the bad idea it is, Frank. Shut up, your exile.
It's not. That's a good
did
idea.
Did you see the second Ghost Rider movie where he turned a train into a flaming thing?
Oh, yeah. The movies suck, man.
Train?
It's unbelievable that a terrible movie is still better than the first Ghost Rider.
Why can't they just get a Ghost Rider right, man? Like, seriously, fucking Marvel?
The best incarnation.
I think they can make him interesting. I've just never liked him in any form so far.
Yeah. So, wait, anyways, like, what?
They Marvel vs. Capcom 3 had, you know, it had a good interpretation of Ghost Rider. He looked right. Because, I mean, it's fucking in a car. Who the
That looks awesome, man. That looks badass, man.
Now,
I like
Zarathos is supposed to be possessing Jonathan Blaze, and that's the end of it.
Oh, shut up.
And you should be riding a bike.
You think I'm an old curmudgeon, but right now you're showing your true colors, Mug. You're such a goddamn curmudgeon.
First, it's a curmudgeon, not curmudgeon.
Whatever. Son of a bitch. Don't correct me.
And also you're wrong.
I said curmudgeon, you son of a bitch.
No, you said curmudgeon. Go back.
I said curmudgeon, asshole.
Look it up. I'll guarantee you.
Look it up. Yeah, I'm going to go look this up on Google. Yeah.
No, go, play the goddamn recording back. You said curmudgeon.
I said curmudgeon. Imagine, you son
no,
of
you
bitch.
Didn't.
You know what I goddamn well mean, you son
of
a bitch.
I will swear to it in a court of law.
Get out of here. You are now forever to be known as the curmudgeon. That's going to be your – if we were all superheroes, your moniker
blah,
would be
blah,
the curmudgeon.
Blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
Boring.
Yeah, get out of here. All right, continue on. What were you going to say? Son of a bitch.
So wait, is his name going to be Blah 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 Man or Boring Man?
No, son of a bitch. Break Man, don't feed into his nonsense, man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Continue on.
I had to add.
Continue on, curmudgeon.
Oh, the Ghost Rider movies were both better than Dragon Quest VIII.
Oh, get the fuck out of here, Freak 5. Freak 5, you're exiled, you son of a bitch. God damn it. Ugh. The visuals were good, Weiland, I agree, but the movie sucked. Both of those movies sucked. Anybody would have been a better Ghost Rider than fucking Nick Cage. Jesus Christ. All right.
Johnny Cage would have been a better.
Yeah, Johnny Cage would have been
Johnny
better.
Cage.
Yeah, exactly. All right, to finish your review, Breakman, please.
Oh, I was pretty much done. I recommend it. I don't think it's quite as good as the only other female-driven property, which is Agent Carter. I think the first season of Agent Carter was just so tightly done that it's just really impressive. I gave that like a 9-year-old.
I wonder why Netflix didn't pick up Agent Carter. That's surprising to me because that's a low budget series that they could handle for sure. I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. But this is 8.5 territory. It's really good. Like I said, the villain elevates everything because he's such a good villain.
Yeah. What do you give it out of 10? Like, what would you give it?
How many times do I have to say 8?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He just said 8.5.
I was confused with chat, man. Jesus Christ.
I don't know. I keep saying it.
You never listen to me.
All right. Let's move on to something, you guys, real quickly. Free for all. We're going to have a real quick discussion. I don't think we've got into this. Accessibility versus artistic intent. A lot of times we start playing games and the difficulty level of some of the games is pretty outrageous. Like, what comes to mind is like Super Meat Boy, that type of thing. I mean, obviously artistically beautiful, but accessibility, not so much. So I guess the question is, what do you guys prefer? Do you guys prefer more of a, you know, gamer friendly game as opposed to like, you know, sticking with artists?
Well, when I first put this on the free-for-all thing, I was thinking more specifically in terms of how the Dark Souls and Bloodborne people there, like, you know, you either you know, the get good scrub thing or you just don't get to play. And I always thought that was kind of stupid. They're like, you know, talking about if you put it in, you know, some kind of an easier mode, you'll dilute the game. It's like, not if the regular play experience doesn't change. If there's an easy mode, you don't have to play easy mode. And it's like, you know, basically, it's, it just it feels like, you know, it's it strikes me as elitist bullshit.
Yeah, I actually agree with that, Mug. Like, I've thought about this long and hard. I'm not one to play
hasn't
games.
I've always thought about long and hard.
Get out of here. I've always loved games like Gears of War and God of War and all these things. I like the fact that there's a level that's accessible to me. You know, like I'll never play fucking Halo on insane mode or whatever the fuck the
like legendary
demon mode or any
you
of this.
Son
shit.
Of a, you're doing this just to antagonize.
No,
me
now. I'm saying, look,
these cheap shots don't. You're not gonna hurt my feelings, Frank.
Look, Breakman is probably a much better gamer than I. Like, in all honesty, like I
hope
I cannot,
I'm better at Halo than you.
I don't.
To be fair, it's not saying much. But
look, son of a bitches, I don't mind playing these games. I like playing Halos and, you know, other first person shooters. But the problem that I always have with these games is that the multiplayer campaign is always at the forefront, right? That's what people mostly play. Every fucking time I play a game online, I fucking rage quit. I can't stand it. I hate it because there are a vast number of people that are like a billion times better at Halo than I am. And it's not it gets not fun when you get into the game and 1 second later you're dead and respawning. Like,
well, that's Halo 5 in particular has modes where you're playing against the computer, like people playing it together against the computer.
Yeah,
and you can do the story mode too. And yeah. And a lot of games are like that. Gears of War has their horde mode, you know?
Yeah, no, I understand that.
You and some friends against the computer.
Look, I get that, and that's fun too. Like what I'm saying is there's been like strides to make things more accessible, and that's fine. Like, I like that. But like when a game in campaign mode becomes ridiculously hard, like that's when I'm just like, look,
there's a balance to be struck. I think that if you look at games like, say, Devil May Cry Devil May Cry or Ninja Gaiden or the Bloodborne, Dark Souls and stuff, I think that they're unforgiving. And Devil May Cry less so because it has like the easy mode, which is pretty easy. But if you look, it's like Ninja Gaiden. You know, it didn't have any kind of anything remotely resembling an easy mode. But you still have to put in some work. It's not like you can just, you know, turn it down to very easy mode or like what they call casual or narrative difficulty, like they have in Mass Effect, where you just kind of waltz through the entire thing. And the thing is, I think that should be available.
Yeah,
because
me too.
We've talked before about there are people who don't have who are physically not able to play games on the level that they're designed to do.
Right.
Like and it's like, you know, people who are disabled who still want to be able to enjoy the games. Like, you shouldn't lock these people out of a hobby. It's like, it's not like, you know, it was like the comedian Dara O'Brien. He was talking about how the you know, there's no other art form that will lock you out of something, you know, for not being good enough at it. It's like, you know, you don't read a book and then at the end of the chapter it's like, what were the themes? Yeah, like, get a quiz that says, what were the themes discussed in the book so far?
Yeah, yeah.
And not only that, think about, like, as we age, like, our skills are going to deteriorate and stuff, you know?
I think Mug
so
and I
even can, for us, games that you know we could have played at some point are going to get harder.
There's no question about that, Breakman. I fully agree. I think Mug, you and I can speak to this the most. I think we're probably the oldest, and Breakman, you could speak on it too. You're a little older than what people think. Like, you
I do.
Actually, Freak added something here. I said, and yeah, all games should have an easy mode. We are all paying for the game, even those who aren't very good.
Yes, I agree. I totally.
There was a game. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's just Freaks. You know, Freak said, why should you not be able to enjoy the game you spent money on because you can't play it?
Yeah,
you
right.
Just put in unlockables that aren't available and easy. It's like, okay. Right. I mean, that, and the thing is, you know, there is a way to do that. And I guess what gets me about it is these people who are so obsessed with basically bragging rights. You know, I beat Dark Souls. Okay. You know, what is the fundamental difference between saying, you know, like with me, it's like I got the platinum in Bloodborne. All right, that's an achievement. You know, that's no pun intended.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That's not a small thing to do. But I don't understand the problem saying, like, you know, I finished Bloodborne. I'm proud of myself.
Yeah,
you know, it was a tough game. I don't have a problem saying, like, with someone else saying, I played through Bloodborne in easy mode. Right. Okay. Well, that's obviously less of an accomplishment.
Yeah, but that's within your own circle. You can say that.
Well, that's my point. Is that if they put in an easy mode and other people play through the game and were able to enjoy it, I would not begrudge them that enjoyment. And that's what I have a problem with.
Right. I mean, the journey is the same for each person, right? Like you, if I beat a game on easy mode, that to me is just as big as an accomplishment as Breakman beating Halo on insane or whatever the
ultimate. Son of a...
No, I'm just saying, like to me, it's the same. Like, there's no difference to me. Like, my skill level on a video game is probably way less than all three of you guys. Like, I know for sure Eric and Breakman. I mean, I probably could kick Mug's ass in a fighting game or something. But you know, I'm actually really good at fighting games. Mug, you don't want to test me. Trust me.
It depends on the game. If you,
I'll embarrass you. Any fighting game, I'll just completely embarrass you, man. I don't think so. Put it out there right now.
We try King of Fighters or Samurai Showdown, Last Blade.
I'll demolish you, dude. It'd be like Weiland up against Breakman, man. And it's not even. I mean, come on.
I don't know what fantasy land you're living in, but it ain't reality. So yeah, you need to get goat scrubbed.
I'm definitely in reality, dude. That's all I used to play was fighting games, dude. Like that's
same a little here. Effect.
Like that's all I used to do, man. Like,
now, if you put me up against your Street Fighter, yeah, you'll probably win because Street Fighter,
King of Fighters. I don't care what fighting game, Killer Instinct, fucking name it. As long as I have a fighting stick, like I can't play obviously with a pad, but fighting stick, I'll fucking go to Evo and kick Infiltration's ass. That was for Wyland. No, actually, I won't.
Yeah, I don't buy that for a fucking second.
At what point did Frank start drinking? Yeah,
I'm waiting for Frank to say, like, you know that Daigo Perry in Street Fighter 3?
Oh, God. Me. Yeah, Daigo. Me and Daigo go way back, man. Like
it wasn't aware you were drinking, Frank. Did it start before the show? During the show?
About where he's drinking. What is he drinking?
No, seriously, yeah, though.
Apparently absinthe.
By the way, real quickly before we leave the air, that Evo was awesome this year. I really enjoyed it. That Infiltration guy is fucking awesome, man. Like, that dude's almost on the verge of getting a dynasty going. I can see why people watch esports. Like, I was like, why would people watch this shit? But man, ESPN2, it was actually really cool. I enjoyed it. Everybody's saying I should fuck you, Mug, you son of a bitch. God damn it.
Frank needs to lay off the absolute
but actually, yeah, missed a game that I had put that I did a review for in my what I've been playing.
Yeah. All right, what else?
It was Song of the Deep, and the review is actually up on Total EGN right now.
That leads us into our plugs. Eric, please.
What I just said, you can find other reviews at Boss Basher Brigade, VogNetwork.com, GameTactics.com, and I think there's one more. No, actually, I think I just mentioned Honest Gamers. So, there is also my YouTube channel, Funny Team Man. I'm going to be doing, hopefully, another drink review or two of the 1893 Coke or Pepsi Cola things, the ginger and the not as hot ginger, I guess, soda.
All right.
But other than that, you can find me on Twitter at ArcRPG.
All right. Let's go with Mug. You're up next.
You can find me on Twitter at Moriamug, MoriyaMug. But no one follows me. You're all assholes.
I think I follow you, man.
I just mean the listeners. You guys listen. You guys follow me because you have to.
Yeah, pretty much, man. Yeah.
Yeah, sort of right. Like a mother has to love a child.
Yeah, pretty much. I know. I see how it is.
Oh, man, that's funny.
I'm taking my ball.
I'm pretty sure Dungeon Buster follows you on Twitter, doesn't he?
I don't think he does.
Oh, wow. That says everything you need to know, Mug. There you go. All right. What about you, Breakman? What are your plugs this week?
At Break_man, at RP Grinders. I hear somebody typing now. At whatever Texas Roadhouse's Twitter is, because I'm heading there next. And to our chatters, and thanks Dungeon Buster, Free Five, and Wayland.
Oh, yeah.
Chatter, we're gonna have to get we're gonna have to get Freak on here one day and let you and him go at it for like an hour and just record it.
Oh God, that's exhausting. This is exhausting battling him in chat. I can't imagine on air, man. All right,
I just want to sit back and listen, get some drinks, and every time like one of you raises your voice, like take two drinks or something.
You guys would be drunk like 5 minutes into the show, man. That's what it would be. All right, these are my plugs. Please, nobody interrupt me during this. I'm looking at you, Eric. Next week, episode 400.
Oh, and by the way.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. All right. Next week is episode 400 of RP Grinders. It's been a long, sometimes harrowing journey to keep this show afloat. So I think next week is going to be a culmination of a lot of cool things. Like I said, new intro, new outro, new segment, maybe an old segment, some old friends, new friends, just all kinds of new shit happening the next week. And I can't wait. I'm super excited. Like this show has been a huge part of my life, like 8 years in the making for 400. So I'm really, really excited for next show. I hope everybody enjoys next week, because I put more effort into next week's show than I have the past probably 50 episodes. Like, I'm really excited for next week, and I hope everybody comes, has a good time. There is a possibility that I will be doing a, depending on how long we do the show, I may be doing a GDP next week. So that's how excited I am for next week's show. So it just depends.
Oh, man, the world's going to end before Friday.
But
that's the end of the days, people. Just good knowing you.
And know. You know what? I want to make
2012 all over again.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get some of the old chatters back in here, like Gripper. If you're listening on Archive, Gripper, please join next week. It'd be total fun. I know Dungeon Buster will be there. Dungeon Buster's been there from pretty much day one. Wyland's been there for a long time. Freak 5, I know you were slightly newer to the show, but I'm glad you're along for the ride. And you know, I have no intention of ending RP Grinders anytime soon. So
you know, I had a thought earlier. I have no idea how long I've been on the show.
You've been on, I think I calculated, dude, at least 3 years, right? I mean, at least.
Like what episode? I didn't like years either, like episode or anything.
Oh,
like,
oh God, I don't know, man. Somebody,
I don't remember how long I've been doing this either. So
yeah, it's a like simpler.
I vaguely remember like episode 300 jokes, but like like we are Sparta, but like I don't remember if I was just chatting or
what. No, you were. I think you were part of the show for at least 100 episodes, dude. Freak 5 says 8 years of everyone else's life is a long time, but it's barely a drop in the bucket of Frank's life. Dungeon Buster's downloading a demo. Doesn't seem to be too enthralled with my announcements, which I don't blame you.
I need to look at the Texas Roadhouse menu because, I'm hungry.
Freak 5 says he won't be here for GDP. Didn't you say you're not going to be here? I said newer, Freak 5. You know what I mean, man. There's been people here for 8 years, you son of a bitch. But we love you all the same. He won't be here for GDP. You won't be here for RP Grinders either, man. That's what you said. So, all right. But that's about it. People can call in if they want. I don't know how chaotic and hectic it's going to be next
RP
week.
RP Grinder Sex Orgy.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll try to get everybody on.
I'm not going
to
make it.
Yeah, you son of a bitch. It's RP Grinders on Skype. I think I lost.
Rip a Grinders.
Rip a Grinders. That's a bull room.
RP Bumpin' Grinders.
Yeah, Bumpin' Grinders. That was a fun game.
Bumpin' Jump.
Bumpin' Jump. Yeah.
Bumpin' Jumpin'.
But make sure you join next week. It's important to me. Like, I very rarely get sappy and emotional and all that shit, but 400
That's
episode
only because
400,
you're a sociopath.
You son of a bitch. Episode 400 is going to be a really, really crowning achievement in my life, and I'm excited for it. I hope you guys all enjoy it. Please join us.
Multiples of 10.
All right. Does anybody, have anything, else before we end the show?
No, I think that was it.
Okay. Till next week, stay safe this weekend, guys. Make sure you join us next week live on Wicked Radio Network at 7 Eastern. We'll be here. I have no idea when the show's going to end, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you all enjoy this little show of ours. Because, you know, it's why we do it. So next week, 400. Until then, we are out. Take care, everybody.
Son of a bitch.
Mug is gonna be exiled on 400.